Pookie's making all that noise over there.
Hey, everybody. Here we are back again. It's Sunday. Hopefully, you're doing it again. Every single time.
Turn the volume off.
Every single time.
All right.
I just said before I hit the button, I was just going to say, it's like, are you ready? Like, turn the fucking volume off. If you hear, like, little noises in the background, that's Pookie.
Pookie tearing shit up.
She's back there tearing something up. I don't know what it is.
Yeah. See people showing up.
Hey.
Got bees nests. Got side quest. Got six of them online right now.
Yeah. Hey, everybody. I got 11, yeah.
11? Okay.
Yeah.
They're all starting to filter in.
Hey, what's up, you guys?
Today, we're going to be talking about the new Unsolved Mysteries on Netflix.
What I didn't realize, because they put six episodes of it up. Well, they're going to have six more. They're just going to, I don't think they're going to put them up until September, maybe. Okay. Or like later on in the year. So they actually are going to have like a 12 episode series.
They're just going to release it in two batches.
But they're releasing it in two batches. Apparently, that's what I heard.
Yeah. All right. So first off, you know, if you grew up on Unsolved Mysteries, you're going to remember that damn theme song.
That's an iconic.
And it's got that same theme song.
Yeah.
It is a slightly different take on it. It doesn't seem quite as intense. It seems a little bit chilled out, but it is that theme song.
Yeah.
And they didn't, and we were wondering who the fuck are they going to replace Robert Stack with? Man, everybody's showing up. Look at everybody.
Hey, everybody.
So I was kind of stressing about it. I was like, man, who are they going to replace Robert Stack with? Well, guess what? They didn't replace him with anybody.
Yeah.
Robert Stack's in it. But only in the fucking opening scene, you see a picture, like a silhouette of Robert Stack's face. And then there's no host at all.
And no reenactments.
No reenactments.
Which I was reading an interview with the producers of the show. And this actually has one of the same producers as Stranger Things, interestingly. And they got like the people that were behind the original Unsolved Mystery in 1987. So they were behind it as well. And they said, you know, we had a huge discussion about if we were going to have a host or not. And then they said pretty much the same thing. They said, there's no way that anyone could fill Robert Stack's shoes. He's so iconic. And so, you know, related to the show that we didn't want to, you know, kind of like, you know, they didn't want to have to like replace him because they thought it would just be better to kind of bring things more up into like more contemporary, like true crime kind of series. And also they kind of got rid of they do like a little bit of reenactment. Cause remember, I think a lot of people really liked the reenactments like from the original show, just cause some of them were kind of cheesy.
Yeah.
But, I think they decided they just do them kind of like, you know, not so much a reenactment as like, you know, they're saying something happening, but they'll just show like,
a scene,
like a scene, but they're, you know, no one's talking or anything like that, now, I think was kind of the better way to do it.
Out of the six of them that they have up there now, five were kind of like true crime missing person type deal. And then one of them to make the sixth one is a UFO case. And I liked that one. I liked the UFO case.
It was very interesting. Yeah. It was a crazy story.
I think maybe it happened. It's hard to tell. It wasn't quite as exciting as the Upan case that they did back in the day. That was a really good episode. some of the Flying Triangle ones, you know, they were really good. But so far, I'm pleased with what they did with it. I think not having a Robert Stack or a host in it, I think, was the right way to go. I think getting rid of the older format with the reenactments, I think that was also the right way to go. And just the edit, I think, is a lot more modern. You see, the old original Unsolved Mysteries, a lot of that was filler. A lot of that was filler. And it repeated itself kinda, you know what I mean? Like for breaks and shit like that, you know, for commercial breaks, or they'd backtrack and show something again. Sometimes some of the episodes, it did feel like they were kind of trying to stretch it out because there wasn't very much material in it. And so far, that's not really the case with this one. There's a lot of meat and potatoes to these cases.
Well, it's interesting too, because I feel like the original series, they usually had at least two cases like on each episode, because episodes were like, you know, 48 minutes or whatever they were, like an hour of commercials, and they would do between like two and four cases like on each show. So they didn't really have a lot of time to go that in depth on each case. So it's interesting that they did kind of like repeat things. And like you said, that happened a lot with all TV shows, like back in the day when people watched them on broadcast TV. It's like they would have that to write, remind you, like when you get back from the commercials, they'd like remind you. I guess it was people that were tuning in like in the middle of it, like the, you know, we're flipping through
it. It was just a format of the times too.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like just, I said, all the shows were kind of like that,
and people kind of were trained to watch TV that way. But if you go back and watch them on YouTube, because some of those cases are up there, I think they took a lot of them down, but they used to be up there. You'd watch those old episodes. They were kind of harder to watch. They're kind of hard to watch by today's standards.
Yeah.
They meandered a little bit. Kind of, you know what I mean? And just very, there's like a real strong formula behind them.
Yeah.
And it would get kind of annoying, you know? But
I think what ended up happening with Unsolved Mysteries is so many people were posting them, like, and, you know, stepping on the copyright. So I think what initially, I'm not sure, but I think what they ended up doing was just opening their own YouTube channel, the official, like, Unsolved Mysteries, so they could put... And they have like X amount of, you know, episodes up there.
Yeah.
They might have them. I think they have some of them on Tubi as well.
Bee's Nest. I heard him. I saw him just say that, man, he wished that they'd bring back on, In Search Of.
See, that would be cool.
That'd
too.
Be pretty cool too. Yeah.
Now the thing about, and I, like I said, I was reading an interview with the producers of Unsolved Mysteries, and they were saying that, you know, they definitely wanted to do some of the more like, you know, quote unquote paranormal stuff, because that was kind of such a big, you know, aspect of the original show. But they said some of the stuff that they used to have on the original show, like, you know, especially like lost loves or people looking for like their lost relatives and stuff. They're like, you know, in this day and age, like where everybody has social media and everything, you know, you can't really do that anymore, because it's so much easier, you know, just to go through ancestry.com or, you know, find them on Facebook or something like that. It's
they
like
have services that can find
anybody. It's much easier to find people nowadays. You don't really like need a TV show to do it.
Right.
So it does seem like they're concentrating more on mysterious disappearances, mysterious murders. And they did do one UFO case. And I kind of like, so I do like that they just focus on one case per episode, which I guess some people could argue makes it like more of a generic true crime documentary style show, you know, because Dateline does the same thing and, you know, all that other kind of stuff. And maybe it's not as distinctive, but I don't know. Like I said, I don't know.
They were pretty good cases.
Yeah, they were really good cases. And I think they really, I think it was really good that they had the time to go in depth and like all this different stuff. And,
storm.
Yeah, I know. Well, it's Florida.
Yeah.
Summer in Florida. It happens pretty much every day. But yeah, so we could talk a little bit about some of the cases. The cool thing about this too, is that they have the website, you know, unsolved.com, which kind of, that was the whole point of the show from the very beginning, was like to get people to like help them like solve the mysteries and stuff. And even like the original run of the show, I think they ended up solving like 260 cases that they presented on there, which is actually pretty good.
Right, before we go on to the cases, let me say hi to everybody who's here. Blessed we've got 21 here. Got Bee's Nest in here. SideQuest here. Zadid is there. He's getting ready to go out and do some shit. Tammy. Melissa's back. Deborah's back. Beth.
Oh, and also I wanted to give another thank you to Logan again. I thanked him on the show last night too for sending me a PayPal donation. He sent me another PayPal donation today, this morning. So thank you very much, Logan. I wanted to make sure that I got that in there.
Oracle's in.
I know, I was kind of laughing. Oracle
Montzlan is in. He's
back from our commercial break, and let us remind you of what we talked about 2 minutes ago. Yeah, exactly. I'm just kind of like, they still do it sometimes, because we've been watching like some of those Gordon Ramsay shows, like 24 Hours to Hell and Back. And I've been watching that on Tubi, where they don't have like a shit ton of commercials. It's like they just have one every now and then. But I've noticed that they still do that with like these TV shows, because, you know, it'll be like, you know, Gordon will be yelling at somebody, and then it'll be like, oh, here's where a commercial break would have gone. And then you come back and they just repeat the same thing over again. I'm like, we were all just here, man.
Connor Votslan's in. He's brought the whole Jaguar army with him, fresh from TJ. And Con's in, and he's in classic TJ. He's in the 1970s Tijuana. He's not in modern Tijuana. You got that time traveler. He's a time traveler.
Oh, okay.
And he said, Child Island Man needs an episode. We need to do that. There's so much of that, though. I think Child Island Man.
Well, I think Netflix just came out with it. I haven't watched it yet, yeah. But I think they just came out with a documentary about it.
It's going to be hard to compete with some of those high quality shows about the man that had the island and the children and his girlfriend who just got arrested.
Yeah.
Child Island Woman. I don't want to name them because we might fuck up the algorithms and they come in there if I could pull the show. CIA jumps through my window, tries to silence me. Yeah. Although, I'll tell you what, man, Weinstein. What am I going to call Weinstein? I'm going to say Naughty Movie Man. That's what I'm going to call
Naughty
it.
Movie Man.
Naughty Movie Man. He was in prison, but they let him out because of the COVID. So he got out. That's weird, huh?
Yeah.
You can rape some people, but because you're a naughty movie man and they don't want you to get sick, they'll let you out of jail.
I don't know.
I wonder if they're going to put him back in.
Well, I would hope so. Why don't they just let him get COVID?
Because he's a naughty movie man with a bunch of money. He's one of
some people.
He was Child Island Man's friend.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, they know too much. They got power.
Yeah. So, all right. So, like I said, I'm not sure when the remaining six episodes of Unsolved Mysteries are going to go up, but the six that they have up there, in case you guys haven't seen them. Now, the first one, this one to me, like, they were all interesting stories. This one to me seemed the most interesting because it just had like the weirdest little details. And I love, like, you know, I don't love it because it's tragic, but it's like, I'm really interested in cases that have like these weird little details. So the first one was just called Mystery on the Rooftop. And now it was about this guy named Ray Rivera who.
Yeah. Hold on, Con. What? This is the guy that you were just posting about, you know, and you were asking us about Unsolved Mysteries. She's talking about that case. Rivera. His name is Rivera, right?
Yeah. Ray Rivera.
Ray Rivera. Yeah. He was found dead. Like he jumped off a building, but it looks awful strange. And when he hit the roof, he went through the roof and ended up inside the fucking building.
It was horrifying.
He busted right through the
fucking
roof.
It was the Belvedere Hotel, the historic Belvedere Hotel, which I believe is condominiums now, and offices. But they showed it. It's in Baltimore. And they're kind of operating under the assumption. I think his death, they ruled it like undetermined.
I think it was an accident.
Well, I don't know. It just seems like, I don't know. Just there's so many weird details about it. Like, what the fuck was he doing up there?
Yeah.
It's like it seemed like there was somebody, like his wife was out of town or at work or something like that. And apparently they had a house guest staying there. The house guest heard Ray Rivera get a phone call. And then he rushed out of the house. Like, you know, like he was in a hurry. And then they didn't know where he was for a while. And then they found his car in the parking lot of the Belvedere, like near there, like, cause I guess he worked for a company that was near there. And then they found this hole in the roof and they go in the room, which I think it was like a conference room or something like that. And they found him all like fucking broken and dead in there.
Yeah. And he'd been there for about a week or so. Huh?
Yeah. He'd been there a while. They didn't know where he was. So it's like, so they're sitting there thinking, well, one, it seemed really weird. Like there was three possible places that he could have jumped from. Or been pushed or whatever. And I'm not really sure why he would have gone up there. I think the police were kind of operating under the assumption that it was a suicide, but I don't know. It just seemed like a really weird thing for him to be doing. And there was like all these little details, like, you know, like I said, he smashed through the roof. There was like a hole in the roof and that's what alerted them to like where the body was. But he had like the shoes that he'd had on were like next to the hole and his phone was next to the hole. And, like nothing was broken. Like his glasses weren't broken, which you would think that they would be if he fell all that way.
I had an explanation for that though.
And no one saw him either. No one saw him come in the building. Nobody saw him fall and pass the window. Nobody saw anything, which I thought was also very weird.
Your terminal velocity when you fall, you build up enough speed, you end up traveling about 110 miles an hour. That's fast, but that's not all that fast. The human body's kind of mushy. You know what I'm talking about? If you had the phone in your back pocket and your glasses on your back pocket or in your front pocket and you hit on your back or something like that, chances are your body could protect the phone and the glasses.
Maybe.
on the during
it
the
just
impact,
seemed weird though that it was all side. Like they were just outside the hole.
Well, when he hit, he probably bounced a little bit and it popped out
maybe
from the impact, but it way physics all worked. He was going down and then the glasses and the foam were going up and it just kind of poof. It wasn't a real violent trip for the glasses and the phone. I mean, they don't weigh much.
That's true.
I think that's what it was.
But that, I mean, to me, that wasn't the weirdest thing. Well, the weirdest thing to me was, you know, who the fuck called him? They weren't actually sure who it was. They knew that it came from his workplace, but they didn't know whose phone it was because it went through the whatchacallit switchboard.
Yeah.
So there was another weird thing too, that they found this little piece of paper like taped to the back of his computer. And it was this really weird, like it had all this Freemason shit on it and like shit about Stanley Kubrick and all this other stuff. Now, I don't like that details to me seems really weird. Although I will say that he was a screenwriter. So, I mean, if I died unexpectedly and people started going through like my notes and stuff like that, there'd be all kind of weird shit in there that like people that, you know, like ideas for stories or like ideas for games or something like that. So it might've just been that. It does seem really weird that it was taped to the back of his computer. Like it was significant. It wasn't a suicide note or nothing like that. It was just this weird rambling.
There's a lot of weird stuff in it. We probably shouldn't spoil it because I don't think everybody's seen it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you want to give them a chance to watch it, but it is good. I don't think it was murder.
Although it is weird, the one guy that he worked with won't talk to anybody. That does seem weird. I'm not saying I think he was murdered. I'm just saying.
I think it was some kind of an accident.
There's just like a lot of really weird details.
He went out on a ledge for some reason. I think he was out on that big ledge.
Maybe.
And
what was he doing out there?
I don't know.
That's to me the weirdest thing.
It was something that made sense at the time.
I guess.
Maybe he was trying to look in through somebody's window. So he went out on the ledge to look in through the window to see if somebody was in there.
I don't need to look in anybody's window that bad.
Like that.
Like fucking that. I mean, this is a tall building. And it's just like, I don't know. It was creeping me out.
he went out on a ledge to go get something. Something was blowing or something blew out or something. I don't know.
Yeah, it just seems very, very
weird. Wasn't suicide. I don't think he had a reason to kill himself.
He didn't seem to. I mean, no. He had just married. He didn't, like, no one said he was upset or, like, stressed out about anything. I don't know. It just seemed really odd. It was like, it was almost like not quite as weird, but it was almost like the fucking, that Elisa Lam shit where they found her like up on the roof in the fucking
in the water
tank. It was a little bit like that. Not quite as weird.
Yeah.
As that,
I saw how she was acting though, man. She was fucking whacked out on drugs.
It probably. Yeah.
They're talking about that. She had a psychic break. No, it's called fucking LSD. Real powerful LSD. And I think she jumped down in there to get to swim or something. And then once she got in there, she realized that there was no way out, no way back out of that damn water tower.
Yeah, because, you know, when people are fucked up on things, you know, even alcohol or, you know, various other drugs, sometimes stupid things seem like a good idea at the time. And then later on when you're sober, you're like, what the fuck was I thinking?
Yeah, I think she went down there. I think she went down there on her own.
But yeah, so I don't know. But that one to me, like, was... I think that was the most interesting just because there were so many weird little details. And plus I'm like really, really scared of heights. And so all the shots of like the Belvedere Hotel was like stressing me out, which, you know, scaring me. So the second one is called 13 Minutes. And that was one where that was a woman named Patrice Black. Right. And she worked at a salon and she was apparently, she had a client and, you know, she cut their hair or whatever, and then they left. And then in a 13-minute window, she went missing. And, like, nobody saw anything particularly weird except that her car was parked in the front of the place instead of on the side where she usually parked it. Because everybody knew, like, her in this town and everything because she was kind of a well-known hair salon. You know, she ran a well-known hair salon. So she just disappeared. And then they found her body, like... 6 days later, something like that. Like maybe it was a longer time than that. But yeah, they eventually did find her body like 6 miles away from the salon. And they're not entirely sure. Like it didn't seem like nothing was disturbed in the salon. Like the cash register was open and I think the cash was gone, but her purse was still there and like all of her other shit was still there. So it seemed like somebody just walked in and like forced her out somehow, but they can't figure out like who it was. And can I just say that one of the people that they talked to a lot on this particular episode was Patrice's son, because he was a kid. Like, I think he was in junior high or high school when his mom disappeared. And his name is Pistol Black. I was like, is that like the coolest fucking name ever? And I was like, man, I wish that was my name.
But that one goes through. There's like several guys that could have done it, serial killers.
Yeah.
That could have done it.
Or it might have been.
But some of them got eliminated.
Yeah. So they did kind of go into that. So that was a very standard. It was just very weird because it was like the middle of the day. It was like lunchtime or something. Yeah. Right. And there was like a really short window for it to have happened. So I don't know if it was just some random person that drove by or if it was someone that knew her or something like that. It was just really, really weird. That happened in Cumming, Georgia, I think in 2004. 20 months later, her body wasn't found for 20 months. So
yeah, she'd been out there.
So she'd been out there for a really long time. Now the third episode, this was actually the only case that I had heard of prior to seeing it on this show. It's called House of Terror. And that's the one about, Count, Ligonez. Is that who's, it was a French family. And, the whole family, including their dogs, disappeared. And then somebody sent letters to like their friends and family saying that they were going undercover to work in the United States for the DEA or something. But then like the cops kept going to their house because the family was like, that sounds like bullshit. That doesn't sound like something they would do. It was like a, it was a man and woman and they were, you know, they were quite wealthy. You know, they were like nobility or whatever. And, they had four kids who were mostly grown. I think there was one that was kind of a teenager. But so the cops kept going and they didn't find anything and they didn't find anything. And then finally, like the sixth time the cops went, they're like, okay, this is like getting crazy now. And then they found the bodies. It was like underneath the terrace, like in all these fucking, even the dogs were down there. But the only dude that was missing was the dad, Count Ligonez. So they're operating under the assumption that he killed his entire family and their dogs.
Yeah.
Jerk. For some reason. And then took off. But the mystery being, did he kill them? And if he did, where the fuck is he now? Because they have no idea where he is.
There's been some guys that did that in the past, kill their whole family and disappear.
Yeah.
And then it turns out that he loved his family and shit, and that what he lost his job, so he couldn't support him, so he killed him. That's some weird
shit. I kind of feel like this might be something like that because he didn't seem to, like the way he killed them, like he wrapped up their bodies very carefully. Like he gave them, like they were Catholics. So he like put little religious symbols on there. So it's almost
that same shit.
Yeah. Like it wasn't out of anger almost. It was just this weird, I can no longer support my family. I don't know if that's what it was, but it did seem like that. It didn't seem like he just like raged out and like fucking killed everybody because, oh, I hate you all or anything like that.
Yeah, there was another guy that did that here back in the, I think he had a teenage daughter and a son and everything. And they came home from school and he killed him. He had already killed the mom and he hid everything and then started a whole new life. They eventually caught him.
Yeah.
And he said, well, I just couldn't, you know, I couldn't support him. I couldn't do my duty as a father and a husband anymore. So
it's like, don't you think it would have been nice to give your wife the option if she had wanted to, like, you know what I mean?
It's always a kind of situation where the dude is like real fucking uptight and really stuck in his ways. And he's real traditionalist. It's almost like something that would happen like in Japan.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost kind of ritual. And
that's so bizarre
because they feel like they failed. They have to save them the dishonor of being poor.
Yeah.
That's kind
of, I get it. That's fucked up, but I get it.
Right.
Like, I'm not saying it's good.
But I think really what a lot of it is that they don't want to look like a failure in front of the family.
Yeah. That too.
So he kills the family too.
Yeah.
They don't know of his failure. That's a control freak there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know.
Can't get the family together. Look, man, I lost my job. We can't pay for this shit. We all have to go to work and get fucking come up with the bills. No. He's like, I'm going to be the sole breadwinner. That's messed up. That's what it is.
I mean, that is some misguided shit right there.
That's what they call toxic masculinity.
It is. That is an aspect of it. Because you're taking, you know, your family's choice away.
Yeah.
It's like, why don't you give them the option? Maybe your wife would have got a job. Maybe.
Because I'll tell you why. The only kind of dude that does that is damn borderline fucking autistic or something. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, that's what it is. I mean,
a normal dude doesn't do that.
Yeah. Yeah. Tammy says, I can live with the embarrassment of being poor. Me too.
Yeah.
I have my whole entire life. Yeah. I'm not ashamed of it at all.
That's what it is. It's just, that, you know, it hasn't happened many times. It's a yeah, certain kind of guy.
It seems like does, a very specific very type of yeah. mental illness yeah. or something like that that would make somebody do that.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure if that
has
what,
a lot to do with upbringing.
Yeah.
You don't see it as much as you used to.
I'm not sure. Yeah. It's like, I'm not sure if that was the situation in this case, but it sounds definitely like it. Does sound like that.
Yeah.
And like I said, they're pretty sure that that's what happened. I mean, because they never found his body. And I think they even had some like, CCTV footage of somebody that looked like him, like leaving somewhere or being someplace, but that was like the last time they ever saw him. So I'm assuming that he just killed all of them and buried them under the terrace. And I'm assuming that he sent the letters to the family. Like,
so that
to
was story three.
Time. That was right? the third one.
Three. Yeah.
Then the fourth one was called No Ride Home. This was a really sad one. This was about a guy named Alonzo Brooks. And he ended up going to this party with a bunch of friends of his. Yeah. And it was like in a neighboring town. It was somewhere like in bumfuck Kansas or something like that. And he didn't really know anybody at the party. It was at kind of this rural area. And, you know, some wires got crossed somewhere where this friend thought that he was getting a ride home with the other friend. And that friend thought he got a ride home with the other friend. I think it was like three guys he was there with or whatever. And he ended up not coming home, and he was missing for quite a while. And this was messed up too. Like, the cops went out there looking for his body because they had presumed at this point, because, you know, his friends went back to the house the next day and no one was there, but they found like his shoes and his hat, like just kind of like as though someone had like tossed him out of a car or something. And like, they looked around and didn't find anything. The cops start looking. They didn't find anything. And then finally, like a month or two later, the cops told the family that they could go look, and they found his body like immediately.
Yeah.
They said it was within half an hour. Like, they just, it was really close to the house.
Yeah.
And they just found him like in this ditch or whatever. Like he was dead.
Yeah. And they're not really sure what happened. There's a bunch of theories about what happened. I think he got into a fight at the party that killed him.
It did seem like, that's, I mean, right. And that's the thing. They're kind of investigating.
And then they hit it.
The police are operating under the assumption that maybe this might have been a hate crime because he was the only black guy at the party.
Yeah.
And some of the other people at the party said that there were some like racial slurs being thrown around, and
white dudes brought him there and they said,
they were friends of his, and it was like a different town and he didn't know anybody at the party.
Him. Some of them dudes in there were fucking with him. But what I don't understand is that they left him there. He said, I guess he said he wanted to stay. They went with him. He was an hour away. I wouldn't have left him in there.
I think, I think what happened, because they had his friends on there and they were like super, you know, busted up about it, obviously, because they thought, well, the one guy thought that the other friend was giving him a ride home. And that guy thought that guy was giving him a ride. So like I said, it was some kind of, they just accidentally like left him there. And it was like an hour away from their house.
Right.
So they like went home, like thinking that the other person had driven him home. So they were like really alarmed, like when he wasn't at home the next day. I think what might have ended up happening there, I was kind of curious about why the cops supposedly like searched around this house and everything like that and didn't find the body until the family went there, because his brother came on and said, look, the cops have been out there for 2 months. They said they did six searches, I think, of the area and didn't find it. It's like, we were there for half an hour and found him.
Yeah, I found him right away.
And he was just laying, wasn't buried or nothing. He was just laying there.
Some people thought that maybe he was put out there after the cops ended the search, but I don't believe so.
I believe it's more a case of like the cops didn't search as stringently, because like I said, the body wasn't buried. They showed a photo.
I don't think the cops thought he was there, and I don't think they thought he was dead.
Maybe.
I don't think they just did a half-assed search.
Yeah, that's definitely what I think. I don't think the body was dumped there later, because that seems like it would just be too much trouble. Yeah. I definitely think that it was just because the cops didn't really give a shit, or they didn't really look all that well. So there was that whole thing too.
I don't think
they
thought he was dead.
Maybe not. Maybe they probably thought he just took off.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he's a 23-year-old guy. He probably just like wandered off and got mad, because that's what they always say.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I guess I can understand that, because yes, it does happen, but I don't know. Like, his family were like really upset, and they were like telling the cops, look, he wouldn't do that. It's like, you know. So the fifth episode, which was your favorite one, got your UFO episode.
Oh, I thought that was episode six.
No, there was one after that.
Yeah, I thought was the best one.
This one was fun, actually.
Yeah.
It was a weird fucking case.
Yeah. It's about all these fucking misfits out in fucking, was in New York or New Hampshire?
Massachusetts.
That's right. All these misfits at different ages, they're all kids. and they all fucking see a damn UFO. Some of them are teenagers and shit. And they all, they don't know each other until they get into the UFO. And they see each other in the UFO, and then they don't remember what happened. But then later on, when they were going back to school over time, because it was a small town, they'd run into each other, and they knew, they were all, hey, you were in the UFO.
Yeah.
And it's a pretty cool fucking story.
It's just weird. It happened in 1969.
Yeah.
And
a lot of weird stuff happened in the case.
Yeah. There's not like one of the things that they were talking about on there was that there wasn't like any physical evidence of it. It was just like these people that had seen it. And I think we talked about it a little bit on the show last night where we were talking about there was some abduction shit going on too. Although none of the people that said that they had been abducted, they didn't really like come up with any, crazy story about like seeing aliens or
yeah, they couldn't
like
remember much about it.
They said they didn't really remember. They said they just kind of woke up like in a room, like saw other people there, like other kids or whatever. And then they lost like 3 hours of time or like, you know, woke up and they were like a mile away from where they had been or something like that. And I think we mentioned before, like the mom and the grandma, like switching places, like in the car, like, and they had lost 3 hours too.
And one part of these two kind of teenage girls, they're in their late teens, They were driving down the road, and they saw a light up in the horizon. They thought it was an accident with a bunch of cop cars because it was a big bright light, and there was some like colored lights there. But when they pulled up, when she got up to it, it was so bright she couldn't see it. It was just this huge bright object. And they got out and looked at it, and she said it was just this big fucking disc. And then it took off. I don't think it abducted her, did it?
I don't think so. No.
Yeah.
Because I think the ones that got abducted, I think, were kids at the time. Like that's
so a lot of people saw it in different locations all in that same time period. And they were talking about it on the radio, but they didn't save any of the tapes from the time.
Yeah, because like I said, wasn't something that they did.
Some people that were in the police or associated with the police back in those days remembered when it happened, but they didn't believe it.
Yeah.
So they didn't record it.
But yeah,
I think remember that it happened.
I think they thought people were like fucking with them or like playing a prank or something.
But a lot of people evidently saw it in the town.
Yeah.
And some people claimed that they were in the fucking ship, mostly little kids, that they were in the ship and saw each other there.
Yeah.
And they didn't know who they were. They didn't recognize each other until later.
Yeah.
Which is pretty weird. They'd see each other at school. Yeah. You were in the ship. And that
kind of shit. You were in the ship.
But one girl remembered she just saw the other kids there and then they would just wink out. They would just leave.
Yeah.
And then another one would leave.
So the aliens.
And then all of a sudden, then she woke up and she woke up and she was out in a field or something near her house.
Like I said, some of them like would woke up like a significant distance away from where they last remember they had been.
I thought it was an interesting story.
It was. Yeah. I don't know how much of it is true, but it was a good story and it made a good episode.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was like kind of creepy and kind of fun. You know?
But other than that, that's what's out now. And supposedly there's five or six more.
Well, there was one more episode after the UFO one.
Oh, there was?
Yeah. Remember, it was the one about it's called Missing Witness. And it was the one about Lena Chapin. And she grew up in like that horrible family with like her crazy mother.
Oh, yeah.
And the mother kept going like from man to man.
Yeah,
and that's right. We're suspecting, allegedly, that the mom killed the stepdad.
Yeah.
And this eldest daughter knew about it and helped dispose of the body. She was just a little kid. Or she was 12 or 13 or something like that. And she was like scared of her mom. And then later, the daughter, Lena, disappeared. And the rest of the family are suspecting that their mom killed the daughter as well, and also killed the stepdad, whose name was Gary.
Man, that storm.
Yeah, holy crap.
Jeez.
But so that was like a messed up case. I'm like watching that, like, and all the twists and turns of this family. I'm like, holy crap. Talking about like some fucking dysfunctional family shit. And it's like, it must be really, I just could not imagine being a little kid and allegedly watching your mom shoot your stepdad like in the face or whatever she did. I think she shot him like in the stomach or whatever. And then like having to help your mom like clean up the thing. And then like all the other sisters, like, and then the later sister like disappears. And then they're like, the mom killed her too. Maybe allegedly.
It kind of reminded me of that other case that they had.
That's fucked up.
But that crazy ass bitch that she had those three daughters. Remember that? And they found, she killed one of them to help the other two, put her in a cardboard box and set her on fire.
Oh shit! I don't remember that.
Yeah,
case was that?
It was back in the '80s, and then she was making the daughters go to the fucking truck stops and fucking pimp themselves out.
Yikes!
Yeah, it was a fucking bad one.
Some people should not have children.
And, yeah. Well, they didn't know what had happened. You know, the first time the cops knew anything about it, they just found a burned up girl's body.
Yeah.
In a cardboard box. It didn't destroy her either, but, you know, they never ID'd her. Later on, this young woman came forward and said, "I'll tell you who did that. My mom did that." It told her the whole story. And but I think the mom died.
That's terrifying.
I think she was either died or got sent to an institution or something. She's a fucking psycho.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah.
There were two. She was jealous that the daughters were thin or shapely, so she would force feed them a whole bunch of fucking Crisco and fucking what do you call it? Fucking macaroni and cheese and shit.
Oh, no. Yeah, I'm gonna have to look up that case now. That's like,
did you guys remember that
one? That's horrifying.
Oh yeah,
it was worse. I don't even.
She is supposed to be kind of like fucking one of the most evil women of all times. Actually, she was on a fucking series called History's Most Evil, I think, or Most Evil.
I remember that series.
Remember that one? Yeah. She was on there.
Shit.
She's
man.
One I'd fucking fuck up pretty bad if I met her.
I mean, that's...
I'd fuck her up pretty bad.
That's terrible.
Yeah, she's evil.
God damn.
And the reason why she killed that daughter, the older daughter, is because she wanted to leave home. And she had already shot that daughter with a 25 fucking caliber pistol years before. And she said, "You're not going anywhere until I get that bullet out of you." She didn't want the fucking... And she cut that bullet out of her with a fucking kitchen knife and took it out. She ended up dying, I think she died of some kind of infection.
Like septicemia.
Yeah, after that. Fucking, and then they dumped her body out there. And she used the other daughters to dump the body.
Holy fucking crap.
And yeah, and she had a bunch of
those. Now I gotta look that shit up.
Yes. Yeah, I don't remember her name.
That's terrible. I mean, I'm sure I can Google through that shit. Yeah. Tammy asked if
you
I finished
Teresa Knorr.
Oh yeah, that Teresa sounds familiar. Knorr.
I think that's
sounds familiar.
I think that might be the name.
Yeah.
I've heard that name
before. I just didn't remember the details of the case.
There was more about it. I think she killed another one of the daughters, chained that daughter up and fucking starved her to death or something.
Man, that's kind of like that fucking case that the girl next door was based on.
Yeah.
Like that woman that like kept those girls in the fucking basement and like let the neighborhood boys rape her and stuff.
Yeah, you were talking about that.
Yeah, that's messed. That happened in the 50s, I think, or the 60s.
There's something like that just happened a few weeks back. Remember that? They found some kid, nude, fuck some kid, some guy. He's probably about 12, 13, 14, but they said he was so badly starved, he looked like a child.
Yeah.
They found him running around, fucking, I think, no clothes on, a damn fucking chain around his neck. And he led him back to the house where he came from, and they had a big old fat woman and a fat dude living in there with all these starving children. They had chained up. Some of them had died from starvation, and they were.
That's right. I was reading
a couple weeks back.
Yeah, it wasn't that long ago.
And there are two of them buried out in a backyard, and then they wouldn't say any more about it. Evidently, they had legal custody of those kids, but they weren't theirs. I don't know if they were foster children or
yeah,
what.
Maybe they were fostering, and they didn't have any oversight.
Yeah, some weird shit.
Because foster kids, they're supposed to like come and fucking check on them every now and then, but I guess
something.
No one was checking on them. Tammy asked me if I had finished watching Dark. I haven't. I was just, like I said, I was trying to, you know, watch season one and two again before I watched season three. So I'm still like only on season one still, but, cause like I said, it's such a complicated show and it's like, I really couldn't remember like everything that happened in it. And I didn't want to go into like season three, but I'll try to do it like this week and then maybe do like a review of it. So what else do we have to...
That's it. I'm just thinking about, man, it's a good thing I can't get my hands on any of those people. Cause the way the apocalypse is going, man, it's going to be like a carnival like atmosphere. When you catch people like that, you remember they used to catch serial killers back in the 1300s and they'd have a whole carnival around torturing that dude to death.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what it's going to get to eventually. It's going to go back to that.
Yeah, everybody just stop.
I think it's gonna go back to that.
You're gonna get there
like a modern version of that.
They're gonna grease you up and put you in the fucking
think how much
the
money
brass bowl.
Think of how much money you can make if you were like the cops or some kind of authority says, "Look, we got them. We've tried them, found them guilty. We're having a big old carnival." And you can sell tickets to that.
My grandma used to always say, whenever they caught somebody that like a serial killer or somebody that did something really, really horrible and they got like convicted. She would always say, they should tie him to a tree and just let everybody come by and slice off a piece.
Yeah.
That's what my grandma used to say.
Yeah. Wouldn't surprise me if history starts repeating itself again, goes back to like the Dark Ages. America falls apart, becomes like the Dark Ages again, where it's a high tech, though. High tech Dark Ages.
Dark Ages.
Yeah. Got electricity, computers, and fucking carnivals of fucking carnage and shit.
Carnival of Carnage.
Carnival of Carnage, where you where they fucking take these bad motherfuckers and do break them on the wheel or something, like they did back in the old back in the old days, and then you buy tickets to it. They make fucking millions of dollars. Then they record it, sell fucking CDs and shit.
CDs? What century?
Yeah, yeah. What's it? You live stream.
You live stream.
You live stream.
I was like,
oh, yeah, I forgot. Man.
Your grandpa and
I might as well start talking. I might as well start talking about fucking 8-track.
I know.
I was like, I'm sell that shit 8-track. It's my dad.
Or Betamax.
Yeah, I had that. Where's my Betamax? My dad never had Betamax.
We had a Betamax for a little while. Yeah. We had a Betamax for a little while, and then we got a VHS after we realized we had both for a while, and then like after we realized that Betamax was kind of going out.
That's
the toilet.
Fucking Guar cover or Guar album's called Carnival of Carnage.
Oh well, okay. I was gonna say that's got to be something. Yeah. I don't have that album. Who is Betamax?
Betamax was a fucking robot from Transformers.
Not really.
Yeah.
Do you seriously not know what
he
Betamax
was? A big
was?
Pussy. No. The maximum beta.
Betamax was the precursor to VHS.
Yeah.
Now, if you say what's VHS, then I can't help you. It's like, I know I'm old, but.
Betamax was actually better than VHS.
The quality
was bigger,
was better.
It was better quality, but it just.
The tapes were like more, they were like shorter, but wider.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It was a better image and everything.
It was, but yeah.
They made so many VHS players so quickly, and it just flooded the market. A lot of people, around that same time, a lot of people don't know it, but they had Laserdisc.
Yeah.
It was like DVD, but it was the size of a
record album.
And they had fucking superior quality fucking, it was almost HD. It was good, but it was so fucking expensive.
Yeah,
one of those laser discs was almost $100.
I worked in a record store in 1993, and we had like a little section of laser discs. And I think the whole time I worked there, I never saw a single person.
It's too expensive.
I mean, they didn't have a huge, number of titles that you could pick from. And they were very expensive. I didn't know anybody who had laser disc. I didn't know anybody who had laser disc players. I don't even think I've ever watched a movie on Laserdisc.
It just priced itself out of the market. It didn't have to be that expensive. Did it? I don't think it did.
No, probably not. But like I said, you know, when VHS first came out and when they first started releasing, like, because for a time when VHS came out, it was mostly just tape and shit like off of TV and stuff like that.
Yeah, you couldn't get a movie. You couldn't get a movie.
So like later when they started like releasing commercial movies like on VHS, some of them were like hugely expensive. Yeah. I remember like in the late 80s or early 90s, whenever Rocky Horror Picture Show came out on VHS, it was $99.
Yes.
Legit.
I know. Fuck, I remember.
For the videotape.
Yeah. Star Wars was like $150.
Yeah. It was like a ridiculous amount. I remember going to fucking Media Play and I wanted to buy it. And I was like, whoa, okay. I don't have a fucking $100.
They thought that shit was precious, man. They thought that shit was precious. They didn't want you having a movie. They were threatened by that.
I feel like it went from like home taping and then porn, obviously, because porn was like an early adopter. But porn is like an early adopter of like pretty much every media technology. And then finally, like, you know, they got into the thing of like making commercial movies.
We'd rent those fucking tapes from Blockbuster, man, and we thought those things were worth the fuck. They were expensive.
Yeah.
We treated them like they were expensive, too.
Yeah.
Little did we know you could just fucking record that shit for a dollar.
Well, yeah.
It was just a dollar.
And like I said, later on, you know, my dad got one of those VHS that had like the two decks.
Yeah.
And
so
we
could
copy. Yes, you could copy. Except for the ones that had Macrovision, but you could get workarounds for that.
And then a VHS player was like nearly $1,000.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember.
And then
really
like
expensive.
It just seemed like one day they were only like 200.
Yeah.
And then like a few years later, they were like $40.
Yeah.
You're like, what?
I know. And then even our broke asses, like eventually we had one in like each room, you know, like everybody had their own.
I remember it got to the point to where, you know, as VHS was dying and being replaced with fucking DVD, a VHS player was like $20 and couldn't give them away. You see them down at the fucking dollar store.
Well, now people, now if anybody even has them anymore, they break and people just throw them out.
Gone away.
It's like, you know what I mean? It's just like, even like fucking, you know, HD TVs and stuff like that. I just, they're so cheap now that.
Yeah. And a DVD, check was, them out. A DVD player was hundreds of dollars. And that's now like fucking 18 bucks, 20 bucks. Worthless now.
Yeah.
Worthless.
Well, you know, like I said,
shit this, changes.
The more, you know, the technology becomes ubiquitous, like the cheaper it becomes.
Yep.
All right. So I guess it's going to storm probably. Yeah. You know, I don't know if the power's going to go out or whatever. And I got to finish doing the laundry. Yeah. So, yeah, I will probably watch some more of Dark maybe tonight. And, oh, I also have to watch the next movie that we're doing a retrospective on, which I'm not going to spoil it. But I'm sure everyone will be very excited about it. I'm very excited about doing it. It's been on my list for a long time. But, yeah, so we will probably do another live stream tomorrow. Movie review, sidetrack, something like that. Probably about 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon, depending on what else we're doing. So we'll talk to you guys again tomorrow. And thanks for everybody for coming by.